freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Beard has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Welcome to a Friday morning. Huskies, Cougs, Seahawks, everybody in action this weekend. Mariners wrapping up their season. Brock, good morning. How are we doing the Metroplex?
Good morning, sweetie. I'm doing great. I'm just plugging you in right now. I like watching you when I'm afar.
Oh.
Like, you can't watch me,
no.
But I can watch you.
I don't want to watch you.
What?
I don't need to watch you.
Well, you couldn't anyway. Because I'm sitting in a studio here, actually a really nice studio. Hope I sound okay, but I really enjoy this. I really enjoy when I'm afar just tuning you in.
Kyle, you ever heard this song? I know it's before like 2014, but have you ever heard this? It's an older song, Kyle. You got to talk loud so these old ears can hear. Sorry, it's an older song. Brock is in Dallas, but he'll be with us all throughout the day. We will do a little simulcast with our friends in the desert at 9 o'clock this morning. Because the Seahawks are playing the Cardinals. Brock, do I still hate the Cardinals? Does anyone else? Like, does anyone still hate them, or is it over?
It's going to be a little harder without the Kangol on the sidelines, I think. I think he probably played one of the more significant roles.
Like, can we still hate them without the...
Ran the football, stuffed the run. The lines of scrimmage were one in red.
I'm like, do we still hate them or not? Like,
well, what's like being the coolest coach in the NFL?
Right.
It's hard, bro.
I can't tell whether or not it's okay to still hate the Cardinals or whether we should feel some level of sympathy for them. I don't.
Yeah.
The greatest coaches always wore hats.
Right. All of them. Right. Bruce. Like. I don't know. Am I mad at... Do I hate them? Do I not hate them anymore?
Well, do you even know the coach's name?
No!
Come on.
I know you've said it a few times. I don't remember the guy's name.
What is his name?
I don't know.
The disrespect has been noted.
Nobody knows his name.
Salk, what is his
name?
Steve
Wilkes. Come on.
Thank you.
Steve Booth.
Thank you.
Every year
Steve Wilkes.
In the NFL, it's a new team. As far as goals go, we have one. Putting a f***ing ring on our finger. Not a Super Bowl. A Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. Oh, that
go to win the last year, this football team was sitting at 9-1, playing for the West Championship.
He doesn't even know what conference he's in.
Didn't get it done. No excuses.
No excuses.
Didn't get it done.
You know, I was a little disappointed because we were ready to come out of the locker room,
right,
and take the field when we were told there's a 5-minute delay.
No excuses.
Rain is one thing. Pouring down, soaking wet balls is another. When it continually pours when you have the ball, which was kind of odd. It's tough.
No excuses.
He definitely touched him. You know, I'll talk to the league and we'll get some kind of explanation that's all like normal.
No excuses.
You got basically your fourth or fifth guard in there and he's fighting his
ball. I can't even listen anymore. What a whiny chump Bruce Arians is. That guy was coach of the year. What a joke. What an excuse.
They were playing for the West Championship.
We were playing for... But he pauses because he's trying to remember what... We're playing for the...
West Championship.
I can't even know.
Have you heard him on a broadcast?
He has incredible diction. He says the West Championship.
And the great coaches wear hats.
He's on with Trent Green, who's like the nicest guy. It's a little three-man booth, and he just interjects all of his
own
stuff.
I bet he does.
Well, I used to talk to the refs about that. Like, I used to, everything was...
Everything starts with I.
Oh,
his
beautiful.
Greatest coaches always wore hats.
That's right, Bruce. So, I don't know. I don't know how much, like, hatred I can work up for some no-name chump who's their coach now. I don't know how much hatred I can work up for, like... I guess Rosen is sort of the thing. Like, if you need to work up a little in-division rivalry for the Cardinals, wouldn't Josh Rosen kind of be the guy?
Yeah, I think the rivalry is probably going to shift to that team, though, that played last night.
Maybe, but I don't
LA.
Feel like we can compete with them right now, so I'm not really interested in that.
You're not ready to compete
no,
with them?
No, I want to continue to fight with the Cardinals. It's more fun. And plus, I just don't like them. I hate their cheap owner. I hate the fact that they're paying through the nose for Sam Bradford, who's not going to play. They're starting a rookie quarterback who seems completely detached. detestable, yeah. even though they are.
But you love Phoenix. You've enjoyed Phoenix.
I like Scottsdale for like a little while, but I don't want to live there.
The steakhouse
there.
That we go to down
I do like Mastro's. That's
you
good.
You love that the Seahawks fans dominate that place.
I also kind of like that.
That the 12s come in there and run the show.
I like that they have an awful offensive line and two experienced quarterbacks who could easily take reps, and they didn't want to play their young quarterback this year, mm-hmm. but for whatever reason, they're doing it anyway. So like there are some things, you know, to sort of make fun of when it comes to Arizona.
And while 4-0-1 in the last five games down there, they've come up here and actually whooped us.
Yeah.
Their defense has actually gotten after, but
Brock,
right there
you
behind
remember,
the Rams.
Three of the better plays of the Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson era have taken place in that building. Now, granted, the single worst play has also taken place in that building.
True.
But three of the best have taken place right there.
The play fake. Russell pulls it down, tries to run to the left side, tries to get outside of Acho. He does! Turns up field to the five, makes a man miss, he's in! Touchdown, Seahawks! Russell Wilson! The magician makes two defenders miss inside the five and runs it in. He has been spectacular tonight.
Yeah, Acho and Okafor, good luck trying to contain Russell. By the way, from the same game.
First and 15 now at 21. Turn and hand to Lynch. He stutter steps. Breaks through the line. Makes a man miss. Cuts back outside right 30. 35, 40. Down the far sidelines. Pushes a defender. Keeps fighting. He's still moving. He's going to go. Down to the 20, the 15, they're chasing at 10. He dives in. Are you kidding me?
What a run.
Touchdown, Seahawks. Holy catfish. 79 yards, and that made Beastquake look like a walk in the park. Marshawn Lynch, sick, a bad back, says, get out of my way. Holy smoke.
Sick with a bad back. I'd forgotten about that, those level of details. Because if I remember, Robert Turbin started that game and ran a bunch early.
Turbo.
And then they brought in Marshawn late for the Beastquake 2.0.
Mm.
Meanwhile, last year, Brock, the great plays in the desert continued.
Baldwin, Lockett, and Richardson all on the left side with McKissick in the backfield. And Russell, play fake, going to roll left, looking. Now he's going to roll back to the right side, still looking, pirouettes, looks, now he throws downfield, reaching up, Baldwin makes a catch, it's on the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, knocked out of bounds, inside the 5-yard line. Are you kidding me? Russell Wilson, he did more pirouettes than a ballerina. He found a way to throw the ball deep, and Doug Baldwin out jumps a defender and takes it all the way down inside the 5-yard line.
I mean, those are three plays, Brock. When you hear them, I know you can see them in your head.
Yes, yes. It doesn't matter that I'm in a studio far away from you and that I'm trying to watch you on this live stream right now. It really doesn't matter. I can absolutely picture him making Acho just lose his jockstrap, right? They just had to pick it up after that little spin cycle move. I can absolutely not only picture Marshawn, but the whole rest of the crew that was blocking, right, that was doing the extra effort, that was blocking into the sidelines to set that up, and then I can really picture Kangle. You know, the shot of Bruce Arians last year when Doug caught that, and he just threw his play sheet and just whined and stomped and just acted like the little, you know, spoiled brat he was in that building as we beat him. So, yeah, I can vividly remember all of those plays. And it's probably going to take a big play or two on Sunday to go 5-0-1 in the last six trips down to the desert.
So now what are they?
Now they're still salty on defense, bro.
Are they?
Yes. Patrick Peterson still there on lockdown, and you know, Golden and crew are up, you know, front defensively. They'll blitz like crazy. You know, they're still going to be pretty good defensively.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Are they, though?
I think so.
Are they?
I mean, they kind of held the Bears to, what, 14 or 17 points? And
ran the football, stuffed the run. The lines of scrimmage were one in red.
But they don't have that guy. And honestly, nope. It's taken a little something out of it. Danny made a really good point yesterday that this Seahawks team has been good now for so long that the Cardinals went from bad to bad again during their time. The Rams went from good to bad to very good.
Yep.
And the Niners went from very good to bad to, well, I guess they're still bad. But whatever. Yeah. It's pretty impressive that Pete has gone this long, and that really shouldn't get taken for granted. That's pretty good.
Yeah, head coach, quarterback. You know, you have a couple of those things, and Arizona kind of searched for him, had him for a little bit, and now kind of starting that whole process over. San Francisco had it for a little bit, starting that whole process over. Rams had it for a bit, lost it, and certainly now have it, man. And what they did last night, you know, we didn't get a chance to really talk about it here, but holy cow, I could not study last night. I got to the hotel room, kind of knew that I've got some hours of work to do for my game, and I just could not turn away from, once again, a tremendous Thursday night game in the NFL that's become a little bit more the norm this season than the alternative of the last few years.
I saw the ratings are up once again, some of the best Thursday night ratings. I'm impressed anybody watched it despite the flurry of flags thrown at all the defensive players who have to play patty cake with the quarterbacks now. I'm amazed anyone watched.
Oh, good shot.
I know everyone said they don't watch anymore, but it's weird.
There you are. Now I can see you on the live
stream. It's like they actually did watch, even though they said they won't anymore.
Oh, I've seen this act before.
So weird. 710, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Earl Thomas was a full participant in Seahawks practice yesterday for the first time in 2 weeks. That's good news, I guess. And Doug Baldwin, he continues to say he's going to play on Sunday. Seahawks and Cardinals, 1:05. You can hear the game, of course, right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Everything is different in the desert. They're starting a rookie quarterback and Josh Rosen, who looks really obnoxious. They no longer have Bruce Arians, who is definitely really obnoxious. Like, who are these Cardinals? They're 0-3 and not nearly as interesting as they once were. But I'll tell you what, you got to go ahead and beat them. You got to take care of business, get to 2-2, and then anything's possible in what is right now a wide-open NFC.
Yeah, well, these are the two teams that really for the last 5-6 years have been the teams in the NFC West until the Rams came on the scene, and man, are they ever hot right now, 4-0 to start this season. Yeah, good news to see Earl back practicing, even better news to see Doug Baldwin practicing. When you play a crew like Arizona that likes to get after the quarterback, to have your favorite security blanket there, which is what Doug Baldwin is for Russell Wilson, I think can only help them, and those Cardinals are going to start a rookie quarterback, a Josh Rosen that's immensely talented. It's why he was a top 15 pick, but also immensely polarizing, and we shall see if the Hawks can indeed get after the Rook.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, both the Huskies and Cougs take on the two schools of Utah this weekend as they both come up to the state of Washington. UW will host BYU 5:30 p.m. on Fox tomorrow night. They are 17-point favorites. And then Wazoo hosts the Utes of Utah, a 3 o'clock game, which you can hear on AM 770. Utah is a 1.5-point underdog as the Cougs are. I'm sorry, Utah's a 1.5-point favorite over the Cougs. Both these schools are good. And I'll tell you what, the Huskies have a lot of pressure on them. You kind of expect them to win all these games. The Cougs don't face that level of pressure, but that team's fun. I really enjoyed watching them last week. They just have a really cool, nothing-to-lose style about the way they play. Their quarterback is a blast to watch. I just really enjoyed watching it.
I would agree with all of that. A little surprised that this line still with BYU being 17. UW is not a team that's lit up the scoreboard, and BYU is a team defensively that has really improved and played so much better, and they're massive, and they play about 10 defensive linemen. They're going to be really hard for the Huskies to consistently move, so once again, I think it's going to be on Browning and those receivers to win their one-on-one battles on the perimeter, and you're right, Gardner Minshew has been just a breath of fresh air. He is poised. He's confident. He stands back there as if nothing is going on around him. They lead the league in fewest sacks allowed, does Washington State, and if that's the case, and Utah cannot get after him, expect to see the Cougs win a fourth, Oregon State the following week a fifth, and then a bye week. And maybe Mike Leach was right that all the pundits had no idea what he knew about this team going into this season.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, Mariners lose to the Rangers 2-0 last night in a game I'm sure you were all paying rapt attention to. They've now just got 3 games left in what has become an incredibly disappointing season. We're going to talk a little bit more at 8 o'clock about what you would do now going forward if you ran the Mariners. Marco Gonzalez, though, pitched really well once again last night. I will talk about him as a bright spot. 13-9 on the year, a 4 ERA and a 1.22 whip on the season. That 4 ERA, Brock, includes an August ERA over 10 when he was hurt for 2 or 3 games. Other than that, and he has bounced back in September with a sub-2 earned run average, he has been probably the single best development along with Mitch Haniger this season for the Mariners.
Yeah, as disastrous as the last couple months were, really the last 3 months of this baseball season for the Mariners, as they gave up and lost 20-something games in the standings to the Oakland A's. The positive here down the stretch is that Wade LeBlanc, who you count on for next year, Marco Gonzalez, who you count on for next year, Mike Leake, who you count on for next year, James Paxton, maybe, maybe not, you count on him next year. But all those guys, Mike, 25 starts this season, over 150 innings pitched. You know, baseball, and especially with those young pitchers, is about building. Now, Leake's not young, but those other guys are. Marco and Paxton are. Is building upon the previous season's success. Mm-hmm. Add those innings. Add that experience. And that was about the only positive of the last 3 months.
All right. It's funny. I was going to say that none of those things, those were all good news, but only so that you would have the opportunity to, you know, trade them all in the offseason.
Okay, well, we'll get to that.
We'll do that at 8 o'clock. All right, there you go. Three things you need to know every single morning.
You're a little edgy this morning, huh?
Me?
In a good way. Yeah, is it because Europe's up 4-0 right now?
Not. I was just going to give a little Ryder Cup update. Things are kind of going from bad to worse.
Wow.
So, started off great. Our morning session went really well for the U.S. in four-ball play.
3-1.
3-1. That was great. Jordan Spieth carrying the team early. Justin Thomas coming up with a big birdie late.
Yeah.
And then things have gone awry, as it turns out. Sounds like DeChambeau and Phil Mickelson are six down.
Yeah, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And Ricky Fowler and
that's
DJ
through eight holes,
are
by the
five
way.
Down.
Yes.
So that's not good.
No.
Spieth and Thomas are only a shot, or a hole back. And then how's the fourth one going, Kyle?
Yeah, they're down two.
Down
be,
two.
Bubba and Webb, yeah.
Sheesh.
Not good. Not good.
Asking us to root, by the way, for a pairing of Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson seems a little unfair. Like, I want to get behind the U.S. team. Could we not put Bubba and Webb Simpson together, please? Let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Rams look okay last night?
They look great. When they honestly, it's like the resurrection of the greatest show on turf.
Mm.
I mean, as Todd Gurley says, and I'm really not debating him on this one, they almost look unbeatable.
Well, they look unbeatable now. I mean, it's early.
Right.
It's good weather. I mean, like, you know, those little greatest show on turf offenses, they always seem to run into problems a little bit later in the season.
That's true. Now, we'll find out how good they are. They've got a three-game road trip, including their first game here in Seattle next. Then they've got a home game against the Green Bay Packers, New Orleans Saints on the road. So I think you throw all those together, it's like these next five games should really test them. And, you know, they'll get somewhere in those games, they'll get some kind of a loss.
Yeah, equally, though, what has happened to Minnesota defensively?
Well, that's what I was curious about because, you know, I just sensed something was wrong. And it turned out it was. And apparently, from what Mike Zimmer's saying after the game, that's the worst they've had a secondary play since Mike Zimmer's been coaching. And so something's wrong with the secondary. Cornerbacks are playing horrible. They're not getting as much pressure on the quarterback as they should. But I think it all goes to the secondary. And so you think they gave up 29 points, including they blew a 20-point lead to the Packers a couple weeks ago, 27 points to Buffalo, 38 points at the end of the season. You know, I don't think it's a matter that they figured out what Mike Zimmer's defense is, because you know he's very good at what he's able to disguise and what he's able to do. But something's amiss right now with the way that secondary is playing, and they paid a big price for it.
Why do you think Earl practiced yesterday?
He didn't have a headache, I guess.
He just felt good enough to go.
Just felt 100%, I guess. It's like when you feel 100%, you can do it. And I don't know, maybe...
Maybe it's the fines, right?
Could be.
I mean, Pete has said there's consequences.
Right?
There's consequences. There's consequences. And, you know, this guy came here after holding out all offseason, all of training camp, because he wanted, and he said it, I don't want to miss these game checks. I want to get paid. Well, if he's getting fined six figures and significant six figures, which this team's empowered to do so,
right,
maybe he just doesn't want to keep getting fined.
That's true. And or maybe he just wants to, because, again, I think it's a day-by-day thing. I mean, he may not practice today. I mean, that may be his tact, but at least he was a good employee yesterday in being able to try to go ahead and try to practice. And so I think that's encouraging because, you know, they still have a lot of other guys that are injured that did not practice in that. But I think that was a good sign because at least on a Thursday, and again, normally it would be the Thursday he would have off, but now all of a sudden Pete gave him a Wednesday off. Now, at least on Thursday, he practiced. And let's put it this way. it's more important even that he practices next week to prepare for when they come in and play the Rams.
John, what is going on with CJ Pro Size?
He's always hurt.
John, what is going on? Pete said the other day they were trying to just get him to practice. Yeah. He made it sound as if it was all in the guy's head. What is going on with this guy?
Probably is to a certain
degree. Really? You think he's that guy?
Well, let's put it this way. What, he's had, 35 games, and what's he missed, like 20? He's only had like 13 games. 13 games that he's been active. And so I think it, you know, because he probably is one of those athletes that feels that if I'm not 100%, and I'm not putting the Earl Thomas thing in the same regard, but it's like, if I'm not 100%, I can't go. And it seems like that 70% of the time he's not 100% and he's not going. It's not good.
Does it feel like to you, and because it does to me from afar, that KJ Wright and Kendricks are kind of tied at the hip? As long as Kendricks is able to go and is not suspended and can play, that we're going to be extra careful, make sure KJ's 100% with that knee?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, you still wonder, can he come back and be 100%? I mean, you can figure he's going to be 90, 95%. But no, I think Kendricks has done so well that it just buys him more time, and why rush him back? And I don't know if they have a feeling that, you know, they get the Cardinals not that good, and they've had great success down in Arizona, that it's like, okay, let's get as much as we can ready for the Ram game. I mean, Pete's obviously thinking week to week, and he wants to win this game, and he knows it's critical. You don't want to come out of this with a 1-3 record. I mean, they need to come out of a 2-2. But yeah, if you can buy some extra time, I think Kendricks definitely buys them extra time. That's an encouraging thing.
Hey, Eric Reed got signed, so I guess teams are now okay with whatever his off-field protests are or whatever?
Well, one team is. I mean, Carolina signed him, and they didn't even ask him anything about what he's going to do as far as the protest.
So why has he been sitting out there for this long? Like, why didn't they just sign him before? The guy's really good.
Well, I mean, Carolina had a need because they lost their starting safety. I mean, Demoris Searcy ended up getting a concussion and going on an injured reserve, and the best guy on their board was Eric Reed.
Right.
Other teams, I think, took a different tact. Now, what would be interesting to see is that had Jerry Richardson still owned that team.
No chance.
I agree with you. No chance.
He would be on that team. It sounds like he wouldn't have been on the Cardinals either, from what I was reading yesterday. All right, let's do a little wild card.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
It's time for Fan Fiction Friday.
Oh, boy.
As an undefeated gladiator, John Clayton has grown bored of defeating his enemies so easily every time he enters the ring. All of that changes the day that John Clayton is cursed by a sorcerer played by Nicolas Cage, and he becomes a human-sized caterpillar. Forced to quit fighting, Clayton struggles to adjust to life with an insatiable plant hunger. Watch as Clayton attempts to kill the sorcerer in order to break the spell with the help of a cat peddler played by Boy Howdy in this race against time before Clayton is compelled to create a cocoon and permanently become a butterfly. What do you think?
I'm in trouble. I mean, again, it's all up to you because, listen, I ain't got no arms and legs. I just sit around doing nothing because I'm just a caterpillar, right? That's like, well, I guess I have all those little arms and stuff
right.
like that. So it's like, but that's not going to do any harm. So it's like, it's totally upon you, Howdy, to be able to take down Nicolas Cage and free me and get me back into some kind of a, but, you know, you go from undefeated to unable to defeat.
Right.
That's bad.
What do you think about an insatiable plant hunger, though?
What's that?
An insatiable
plant hunger. I mean, I got no arms and legs. It's like
well, you got legs.
Well, I got legs.
They got a lot of legs, right? Caterpillars
got a lot of legs.
Few arms. Legs.
Yeah, I got a lot of legs, but what am I going to do? It's like I just sit around doing nothing.
All right, just eating.
Just eating, yeah. Well, I mean, again, look at it this way. Name me a fat caterpillar. Is there any? No. That's all they do is eat.
But they're all fat.
They're all fat? They are?
We got to go. Thank you, John.
Okay. See you, buddy.
Wait, wouldn't all the caterpillars be fat? Because all they do is eat, right?
Yeah.
They eat and move.
Really, the only caterpillar. Does anyone know a caterpillar other than the very hungry caterpillar? Are there other caterpillars? Are there others?
I gotta be honest with you, bro. I'm afar from you. And the last time I felt like I was away from you, John had his coughing spell when I was in Atlanta.
Why were you worried about that today?
I was a little bit worried about
you
that.
Were?
Today. Yes.
Why?
Were you?
No. Yes. Didn't even dawn on me that he might have another coughing
I'm
spell.
I'm watching you on the live stream.
No.
You can't not lie to me.
That's not true.
Yes.
Why would you say that?
Because he had some.
How are you and Brock? Brock getting along? A role play group. What would
John, we're gonna let you go.
Yeah,
John, you gotta go. Go get some water.
We're gonna
That's
let
enough.
Everybody go here.
All right, coming up next, a football weekend in preview. Three matchups and what you should expect, all from the mouth of one Brock Heward next year. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
All right, thank you to the texters pointing out there are two other caterpillars. Alice in Wonderland has the caterpillar, and then I guess a Bug's Life, which I apologize, I haven't seen. Mm. There's a fat caterpillar in a Bug's Life, so there you go. There are a couple of other caterpillars.
It wasn't made in the 1980s, so I don't know if you want to see it.
I missed that one. I missed a Bug's Life. I'm gonna go see. I'm gonna go see the what's the animated one that's out this week? Something about. I don't know, Sasquatch or something. I don't know. I'm going to see
it. Oh, really? You're going to see that one?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, wow. Okay.
You know anything about it?
Tough to say off that description. I don't know.
You're talking about Smallfoot?
Smallfoot. Thank you. Yeah. Not Littlefoot. That was
That's like a fan fiction Friday, like legitimately. It's about a bunch of Yetis who discover a human.
Sounds perfect. Well, I'm going to go see it. You think I'll like it?
I think it'll be good.
Avery and I are going to go. It's going to be a little daddy-daughter date. Anyway, nice. We'll do that in the midst of all of the football we have this weekend. Brock, we're going to run through these games. Yeah. Let's do them one by one, starting with the night game tomorrow. UW-BYU. You've had a chance to see both these teams the last couple of
years. I have. I've got to kind of see them up close and personal and study them. And the nice thing is it's 5 o'clock. It's not that 7:30. I don't think Husky fans like that 7:30 game. I don't know if their coach does either. But certainly their fan base doesn't. So hopefully they show up. Students back on campus this week. Started to take classes. I think that always helps, too. And they're going to need a little bit of juice, man, because BYU is, I think, the oldest team in college football. I think they've got about 32 guys that are married on that team. Most of the team has been out on a mission trip, so they're pretty mature. And after a horrendous season last year that put their head coach on the hot seat, they have responded and did so big time. A couple weeks ago at Wisconsin, they've already beaten Arizona. They played right to the wire with Cal. 17 points, I said it last week with ASU, and it was like the same kind of spread. It's just too much. You know, I don't see 3 touchdown difference between a pretty physical, old, mature team that's, you know, doing a lot of good stuff. And this was, Peterson was talking about BYU earlier this week, and he is spot on when it comes to some of the things they like to do offensively.
Well, yeah, you guys should take a look at the tape. I mean, it is extremely different how they're running the ball. I mean, it's, you know, so many spread teams, you know, the zone read game, there's none of that. Nothing that, but they have their own unique way how to keep the defense honest with this fly sweep game, and half of it's running fly sweep and the other half's running the ball. You're going to see a quarterback take a snap from under center and drop back and throw a pass. How often do you see that? I mean, with no play action. He'll play action, but he takes a straight drop and throws it. So, I mean, it's a unique style.
Yeah.
It's unique in that it's like normal.
Don't you love, yes, exactly. Don't you love Peterson's way of communicating? Every time I listen to him, man, I just chuckle. But they do. They run about 15 different fly sweeps. It will challenge a defense that likes to do a million things with Jimmy Lake. And I think it'll be a pretty competitive game. Ultimately, Washington's a lot better, a lot more speed, a lot more dynamic on the perimeter. And that's going to have to come to life Saturday at Husky Stadium.
And then, of course, earlier that day, you've got Utah and Wazoo.
That is going to be all about Wazoo's ability to handle Utah's physicality. You know, as we saw with Utah and Washington, they are right there and got 2 guys tossed in that game because of targeting shots. I mean, they will whack you. And Wazoo's not faced that. USC doesn't do it. None of their 3 non-conference games had any real level of kind of physical nature to them. So all those little shallow crosses and Minshew just sitting comfortably back there and having the time of his life and winging it all over the field can be a little different with the Utes. And them having to handle, I think, some of just that disposition that the Utes bring into it. Yeah. And by the way, the Utes have to win. I think Utah has every opportunity to win the Pac-12 South if they're quarterback can actually pass the ball even mildly consistently.
These two teams played an awesome game last year, if you remember. Kind of went back and forth. It was a really, really good game between Wazoo and Utah. And if I remember correctly, it's another one of those games the Wazoo defense kind of stepped up and showed last year that speed D thing they were doing.
Yes.
What do you make of their defense this year?
Yeah, it's awesome to have Peyton Plewer right back in the middle of it. Their middle linebacker that got hurt last year, he got an extra year of eligibility. I just saw that he is up, I believe, for either the Werfel or the Campbell. Was it the Campbell Trophy, Kyle?
Yeah.
Which just speaks to his just terrific nature on and off the field. A great leader there. Tracy Clays, I've said it, I think, 15 times, but every time I've talked about Wazoo, I think I've mentioned his name as much as I have Mike Leach, their D coordinator. To get him, to get a D coordinator of that ilk after losing Alex Grinch is quite a testament to where they're at, and they're flying around. And they get that one. They get to 4-1. They play Oregon State the following week. That should be a win. They'll be favored 5-1, and you get a bye week. You'll be 5-1 going into your bye week. in an offseason that I don't think any of us imagined they could get to that place.
No kidding. I mean, I honestly did not think they would even really be competitive this year. And then Gardner Minshew turns out to be about as fun as anyone around. Their wide receivers look a lot better than last year. And I don't know if that's because it's a different quarterback or they've just gotten better. And then the defense looks, you know, kind of like the defense has looked over the last couple of years. So kudos to them. They've been really fun. And then, of course, on Sunday, the big entree is Seahawks and Cardinals. And, yeah, I do miss Bruce Arians, Brock. I'm not going to lie. I miss seeing him in this matchup. But I'm thinking that Josh Rosen is going to be just as obnoxious.
Yes.
He just seems it.
He just got that athletic arrogance. Right, he just does, and he's not afraid to share his opinion. He never has been. From the day he set foot on campus at UCLA, he's going to just mix it up and just. I think there should be one thing you do like about him, Salk, is because you share it in your nature too. You don't just settle for that's the way it's always been done. Well, that's just the way it's always been done. Like he does not have one vibe of that. Don't tell me the way it's always been done. This is what I want, or this is what I'm comfortable. And I think a lot of times, many of your arguments, whether they're contrarian or not, if you kind of boil them all down, that's most of the time what you get to is, well, but why? Why are we doing that? Why are you just buying that? Well, why are you thinking that? Mm. And I think, honestly, if there's a positive way to spin, I remember a coach in the conference, in the Pac-12, who told me at a function I was at, he said, listen, I did not recruit Josh Rosen. I did not want him in my college program, but I was also in the NFL, and I would have him in my NFL program. Mm. Like, he's going to fit better amongst a bunch of professionals and independent contractors and just grown men.
I think I'm the best quarterback here. I think I can diagnose defenses and put the ball where it needs to be and make quick decisions. And I think we're all competitors, and I think every other quarterback should have the same exact belief that I do.
But why do I like it when Baker Mayfield says things like that? And when Josh Rosen does it, dude, you are the worst.
Baker Mayfield's face isn't as annoying.
It's got to be, right?
Baker Mayfield is a walk-on, and because of his story.
Because Baker Mayfield actually won.
And Josh Rosen's just got this little rat face, and you just watch him like, dude, you just look
Let's
obnoxious.
Let's not make it about his face.
It's not about the way his face is constructed. It's about the expression on his face. Yeah. He's got a little rat expression on his face all the time, and it's obnoxious. I don't know how else to say it. I don't like the guy.
Who would you compare it to? It's not Cutler bad body language at all.
No, it's totally different than Jay Cutler. Yeah, I'll think of it. I'll come up with it. It's not that.
He's got just a – Peyton had some of that. No, early on with
Peyton
the Colts
so
especially.
Dopey. No, too dopey.
Too dopey?
Yep, Peyton looked too dopey. Well, sorry.
Well, once you figure it out, I'll let you think about it.
You mean Peyton like before the HGH shipments or after?
I want you to think about it for 20 seconds, and I want to let you listen to Coach Carroll. Post-game, Kyle, you got this? Post-game.
Oh, I got this, bro.
Oh, yeah, you do. Post-game, mic'd up. He was mic'd up on Sunday. It was a fun little three-minute listen. Lots of good stuff. But here was the coach in the locker room post-game making his point as to how they're going to continue this.
Let's remember how this worked. It worked by the whole team playing together. That's how championship winning football is all about. We've been doing this for a long time. I know I've said that a lot of times to you. That's exactly the formula. It's exactly, it don't matter who we play. This is how we play. This is what we do. Let's make sure we capture this. It's too freaking important. Let's capture exactly how this happened and just keep on recreating it one week at a time.
Let's go make it happen. Let's go. Hawks on three. 1, 2, 3. Hawks.
Man, he's a fast talker.
He really.
Oh, my goodness. I never really even realized that. I mean, I knew he was energized, but I think on a words per minute, that may capture Dave Cameron. I think that may get up there with some of our
let's not get crazy. I'm sorry, I'm distracted. I'm just looking at pictures of Josh Rosen trying to figure out what it is he looks like. I can't quite get my finger on it. I'm sorry. I thought during that amount of time I'd be able to.
Sorry I'm distracted. I'm looking at pictures of Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
That's my favorite quote from today.
Well, he's got this, like...
I can't do the radio show. I'm distracted. I'm looking at Josh
Rosen. He's got a natural kind of whiny look to him.
Yeah, he does.
It's just Damon had some of that on a basketball court. Not going to lie to you. Damon back in the day, opposing fans hated him. He just had that emotion on his sleeve. He just wore it. Detlef Schrempf. Dallas Shrimp had some of that kind of whiny every call, and Rosen just carries a ton of that.
He does.
Yeah, he's got a real kind of whiny nature to him.
I mean, he's just got a little of the L.A. Arizona thing going.
But he can spin it. But he can spin it.
Yeah, but can he spin it if you're in his face? Can he spin it? I mean, from what I've heard, he taps out. I mean, I don't know. That's what one of the college football analysts told me last year.
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
There
was a college football analyst. I was watching a UCLA game last year. I got to remember what game it was.
I don't remember.
And one of the analysts kept saying that basically he tapped out.
No, he basically didn't say that.
I don't remember who it was, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure.
One of the analysts told me that Josh Rosen just tapped out.
All right. Brock Ewart says?
I don't know. It couldn't have been. No, I must have been someone.
I would put very little stock in the Brock Ewart.
I remember Jim Mora got upset about it afterwards, but I can't. I'm pretty sure. All right, coming up next, a little Coors Lights.
In all fairness to my comment,
Blue 42. Jared Goff is good now. What is the deal with this, Brock? Explain it to me next. I'm Brock and Saul.
Here we go.
This is Coors Lights Blue 42.
We're gonna go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42. Blue 42.
All right, I got a lot of texts on who and what Josh Rosen looks like, Rod.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, like an obnoxious version of Eli Manning.
Okay.
He looks a little like Mark Zuckerberg. There's some truth there.
Interesting.
He's Eric Bedard. He's got RRF, resting rat face. That was the best one.
It's like a demon rat.
That's really mean.
He looks like Danny Ainge.
Yes.
He's the new Jimmy Clausen.
I think Danny Ainge may be the best one yet, yes.
A little bit like a giraffe.
I'm not comfortable with this. Either's living.
No?
Let's go. Blue 42.
Of course, likes Blue 42. Not even with resting rat face?
Because it makes me imagine, I know that all the people that like looked at me like, oh, he looks like Howard the Duck. Oh, he looks like Macaulay Culkin with Down syndrome.
Oh, I hated Brock's face when he was playing for
right.
Me.
Well, but for
you
good
did,
reason.
Kyle?
Brock, we've been over this.
Hate mine? What?
He just looked too whiny. And then we watched that video that you're holding your arm in the apple cup.
I looked too whiny?
Yeah, a little bit. I could see that. I'd kind of be on board with
Do
that.
You know what my coach had nicknamed for me? Never really caught fire, but he called me Sleepy Eyes. Huh. He thought I was super sleepy.
Interesting.
Huh.
I'd call you Bright Eyes.
Whiny? You call me whiny?
Now, question number one, right. Brock. Doug Baldwin says that they cracked the code on, the way the Dallas defensive signals are going on. Alex Magoo and Caleb Scott, both in the practice squad, cracked the code during the game. Should he have said that?
Maybe not have said it. Maybe makes it a little harder for those guys.
Like, should he have said it in great detail and named names?
Yeah, let me hear this. This was Doug yesterday.
Again, when guys are on the sideline, everybody's locked into the game. So two of our rookies, Alex Magoo and Caleb Scott, they didn't have to, but their assignment during the game was to figure out what the signals were for the opposing team. And so they knew the signals by that point in the game. And when we lined up, they were calling out what the defense was going to be in, the coverage they were going to be in. And I'm in my head thinking, okay, the outside guys have a chance to get open. And if you watch it, all three receivers were open. David Moore got open, Tyler got open, and Keenan Reynolds also got open.
I'm trying to piece all of this together. And in today's league, if someone has your signals, it's like failing a weed test at the combine. It's not like you do drugs, you're just dumb. Like, you can't fail that test. And if someone steals your signals, you're just outright dumb. Because, remember, they communicate them in now defensively. It's not in my era where everything had to be signaled in. Now you've got the walkie-talkie in the linebacker's ear, so he's giving out. So what you've got to be then looking at is the hand signals amongst the players. Because sometimes, especially against tempo, and Seattle mixed up some of their tempo, maybe that linebacker, instead of saying something, was just signaling out to the defense or the secondary, some of the coverage. That's what I'm led to believe there in trying to piece all of this together. And in that case, I don't think it is that big a deal that you named a couple rookies, because those guys playing on the field, they have no idea who Alex Magoo or Caleb Scott are. But it may the next time for some of those defenders you play. I know this. That sound or that news goes around the rest of the league. So when the Rams come in and play, Wade Phillips and crew will have known that and said, hey, they got some guys on their sidelines that are pretty adept at this.
Yeah,
so,
doesn't seem like it's something you need to go
I don't know how beneficial that is in any way.
All right, question number two. It's weird. Doug just couldn't keep his mouth shut. It's weird. How has Jared Goff become Jared Goff? What is the deal here? This guy's not supposed to be good.
How many times did Aikman just laugh last night? Like, this dude is on fire. This guy is amazing. I can't believe this. I mean, it was incredible. 6, 7, 8, 10 throws last night that he was playing unconscious. That is what has changed. Instead of when we saw him as a rookie, Mike, where he could not, and they even mentioned that on the broadcast last night, that they had a game his rookie year where at practice he couldn't throw a spiral. I mean, he could not physically throw the football. And now you see him, he is just reacting. There is no conscious thought. I'm not thinking of any negative. I'm going to hit every single shot I take. He's absolutely in the zone. Now, an enormous part of that, and if I'm on that broadcast last night, I am pointing to the amount of air and space he has in the pocket almost on every single throw. You know, he boots and he waggles and they move the pocket and they do an awesome job in all of their scheme. But when he dropped back in the pocket, how many times was a defender even within arm's length of him? If he threw it 25 times, there were not five where anybody was even within arm's length of him. And when you feel that kind of space, guess what it feels like? 7-on-7 in practice. And that's exactly what it looks like on these Sundays or Thursdays for Mr. Goff.
All right, question number three. As they get ready to go on Sunday, who's ready for a little breakout for the Seahawks?
It's hard to say somebody that's in the top 25 of every receiving record in the NFL history can have a breakout game, because Brandon Marshall's had a lot of them. But this is a Brandon Marshall game. Russell featured him last weekend, right? They came out, number of third downs, number of one-on-one situations, he kept going to him. And unfortunately, Brandon dropped a couple, had a few knocked down. In this game, I am sure that Arizona is going to say Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett are not getting off. All right, and if we're going to help anybody on third downs, it's going to be certainly against Doug, and we're going to make sure at times we're rolled up over the top of Tyler. He is their big play guy with a big play touchdown in every single game this season. So what does that mean? That means Brandon Marshall or David Moore or Jerron Brown, you three are going to get one-on-one situations. And out of those three, clearly the comfort level for Russell is with Brandon. Brandon's going to have ample opportunities to make a lot of plays in one-on-one situations, and I sure hope he does Sunday.
All right, that's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. I want to let everybody know that coming up in an hour at 9 o'clock, we're going to do a little simulcast with our friends at 98.7 in the desert in Phoenix. Doug and Wolf, they host the morning show there. You may have heard them on our show before, because one time they got into a really big fight over something really silly.
I'm looking at what the Oakland Raiders have done in their past, granted, yet at the same time, it's not like they've been absolutely awful for 40 years.
No, I'm looking at it when you said their brand. I just say that I think it's in 11 years is when you look at a young generation, because that's what people get into the business for, is how are they looking at now? And right now, anybody that appears to be about 32 years of age or younger just looks at the Raiders as a joke. I don't see how you couldn't at that age.
I honestly think that you put too much stock in Twitter. That's what I think.
Oh, no. Obviously, the conversation's over your head, and I apologize to you.
Oh, no.
I didn't mean to expose that.
Nothing's over my head that you say.
If I say nothing. The brand, let's ask what young people think, and I say, if you're anywhere between about 20 and 35 years old, I want to run an experiment. Just tell me what you think.
Yeah.
And your response back is, 40-year-olds don't think that.
No, I'm just 30-year-olds.
We were never talking about 40-year-olds.
You just sit there and look at Twitter, and all of a sudden it's a scientific fact.
I never said it was scientific. I just asked. I don't even understand how you're upset.
I'm just sitting here trying to figure out how you're even disputing the fact that the brand is still one of the best brands in the world.
I asked if young people think that. That's all I did. And you got bent out of shape about it. As Aaron Rodgers would say, relax.
You know what, Doug? Shut up.
No.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell me to shut up.
Shut up.
You're not man enough to tell me to shut up. That's a joke.
You want
to
go?
I just think...
Seriously, you don't ever say that to me. Bull crap.
Why would you tell a man to shut up? Either...
You know what? Seriously, you got a problem?
I do have a problem when somebody says shut up to me. That's a joke. It's unprofessional and it's immature.
You know what?
You can disagree with me all you want, but to tell another man to shut up.
I got
to
turn it off. I can't. We're running out of time. Those guys are going to be simulcasting with us at 9 o'clock. What is going to happen? This is going to be anarchy. That's coming up in an hour. I've heard that Mike and Edmonds and some others have been waiting for a rant and a big conversation. The question is this. The Mariners season has been over for a month. What would you do if you were in charge this offseason? I'll give you my take. Brock will give you his. And we want yours. It's 206-421-3776. It's next on Brock and Salk.